ask you, as we dismiss our children, Children's Church, those fifth grade and below, if you'll follow Miss Denise, Miss Carmen, Miss Amber. Also, find your Bibles while we're exiting. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Message this morning is going to be all of chapter 12, but there's only a few points. There's not 99 points this morning, but we're going to read one verse of scripture. But I want to ask you this question: what is the action that we should do the most, but we often do the least? Amen. That's exactly right. As we see in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it reads like this: "So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made earnestly to God for him by the church." By the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. I pray, Father, that everything done and said be according to your will. Father, may we study it with integrity. Father, I pray that the preparation and the presentation be honoring and glorifying to your name. Father, hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How often do you consider that you need to pray? How often? We should think often. How often do we actually pray? Often, they should not be two different things. They should be the same. We should have a desire to pray, a desire to seek God's face, a desire to seek His will. Now, it was shared with me multiple times by a gentleman, I'll not mention any names, Wade, that shared that he needs prayer. And Greg, you need the practice.
That's right.
Amen. He sure does need the prayer, and I do need the practice. But we all need the prayer, and we all need the practice. And as we'll see in this story, struggles and difficulties come, but we shouldn't be limited to prayer just because that happens. But when it does happen, as you'll see, as that verse of scripture, the church, yes, individuals, yes, you, but the church needs to be on their knees in prayer, seeking God's will, seeking God's face, seeking His direction, asking for His guidance and His counsel, being obedient to what He has instructed for us to do. And the example is given to us here in these verses of scriptures. Many people, however, question the power of prayer. They often question the reality of prayer working, because it's oftentimes we're in the middle of those struggles and those difficulties that we hit our knees in prayer when struggles and difficulties come, but oftentimes it's not answered like we want, or not answered in the direction of the steps that we think. Why? Let me tell you a good biblical answer. Two things. Because it's not God's will, or you're asking the wrong direction, the wrong way. What do you mean? James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says this: "You do not have because you do not ask." These are some key ingredients that we as Christians, we as Christ followers, key ingredients for us to be in relationship with God. We do not have because we do not ask. Ingredient number one, communication. Struggles often come, or we do not understand the struggle oftentimes, because we're not in communication with the Father. We're not reading His Word and allowing His Word to speak to us. We're not talking to Him just like we talk to one another. We're not seeking His guidance and counsel, because I assure you, when you seek His guidance and counsel, He will reveal it to you in His timing. It may not be your timing, but in His timing. Verse 3 goes on to say, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives." Here's the ingredient. First was communication. Second was this: fellowship with God.
we're asking the wrong motives, that means we're not in tune with God wants for our lives. We're not in tune with God's plan for our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 shares that God has a plan for everyone. Not of disaster, but one of hope and peace and prosperity. God has a plan for your life. And we need to be in prayer seeking what that plan may possibly be. We miss the power of prayer by not keeping our responsibilities in communication and in fellowship. For example, a fisherman prays that he will have a big catch. Now, there's several fishermen in this room this morning, and I could probably ask, but I will not. How many of you have ever prayed that you'd have a good catch today? And several hands would probably go up. And it may not be fishing, it may be hunting, it may be something else that you enjoy doing. You pray for a good results. Well, that fisherman might pray for good results, but if he doesn't go fishing, he's prayed in vain. God has given us responsibilities. He wants and calls for us to pray, be in communication, seek His will. But prayer is action. Prayer is having faith that God's going to keep His promises and reveal to us His will for our hearts and lives. Prayer requires action. Because we cannot pray for a large catch or any other thing, a fish, and not go fishing and expect our boats to be filled. Prayer requires action, most importantly upon God's part. But we as Christians have responsibilities too. Prayer requires action. As we'll see in today's story about the church, they actively participated in prayer, as we saw in our verse of Scripture. But here's one thing that we must not overlook. Oftentimes in our prayers, we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, but we don't expect anything. As you read Acts chapter 12, they were praying and praying. Peter knocked on the door. Rhoda comes to the door. It's Peter. She goes back and tells them. And what did they say? The church people that were praying? You're crazy. It's not Peter. It's his spirit. So they were praying. They were earnestly praying, but they were not expecting for God to answer. Church, this message this morning is for us. Two things we need to know is we need to pray, but we need to expect. When we pray, we need to expect God to move. It takes action. We have to be active participants in prayer. The Word of God is revealing to us in this that we must have expectations that God will answer our prayers. It may be yes, it may be no, it may be wait, but God always answers prayer. Always answers prayer. So why should I pray? Number one, you fill in the blank that's within your bulletin. Why should I pray? God sees our trials. God sees our trials. As we see in chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, this is where he sees our trials. James loses his life because he is serving God. James, here in this story, lost his life. But here is what we often look at in the middle of our trials. We see the big picture of all this taking place, but here's what we ask. Why did it happen to James and not to Peter? How many times have we been in the middle of a trial or a struggle or a difficulty and we start playing the blame game? So-and-so gets away with this. So-and-so goes through that. I'm going through this, but they are not. James lost his life, but Peter was spared. Why? Do we see in this story this taking place? Because God has a sovereign will. Now, we'll look at that a little more detailed as we move forward through the message. But I want to get your minds to thinking, because each one of us, every day of our life, we face trials, struggles, and difficulties. No one has walked through your shoes, and no one has walked through my shoes. We all walk in our own shoes, face our own life responsibilities and difficulties and struggles. But this is the big picture. God sees every one of them. God is aware of your circumstances, and He cares for you. You matter to Him. He wants for you to just trust in Him. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." Too often, the occasion is when we see things are not going our way, we push God away. Now, there's not a person in this room that would say, you know, I can understand that God sees my trials. I believe that God sees my trials. Too often, what we're guilty of saying is this: where is He? Where is He? It goes back to those two key things that we talked about: communication. Are we in prayer, in communication, in relationship with the Father? Are we in fellowship with the Father? Because relationship goes a lot farther than communication. We could communicate with a lot of people, but God wants us to be in fellowship with Him. And fellowship in the Greek word is koinonia. That means trusting and relying and there for and with one another in all of life's circumstances. God does not leave you when times get difficult like a friend might. God is there with you every step of the way. He sees your trials, your struggles, your difficulties. So let me ask you a question. What trials are you facing? Are you praying about those trials? Too often what we're guilty of, instead of praying about our trials, seeking God's will, we're guilty of that word that we don't like to say, complaining. Why me? Why this? Why now? There's nothing wrong with asking why. What makes it wrong is when we take it a step further and it becomes discontentment. And it comes a sour attitude. And it comes where we know that God sees, but we really wish He would do something more about it. Something different about the situation. Instead of just trusting Him to handle every one of our situations, we miss it. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. I think this will help answer some of our questions. Because no matter how personal or how difficult your trial may be, never forget your life is important to God. God sees everything you're facing. He sees everything you're going through. Even when they are tough, always remember He is watching over you. But never put yourself in His shoes, because you cannot. Because He knows what's best for you. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. They read like this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." We see through the Scripture, we can't outguess God. We can't instruct God. He gives the instruction. He gives what's right and wrong. He's the one that has the absolute truth, in that He reveals it to us right here in God's Word. Because His ways are different from ours, and our ways are different from His. He calls for us to just trust Him in our faith. But oftentimes, here's what happens. Struggles become temptations. Struggles become temptations. Because I'm struggling with this, what oftentimes happens? I give up and I give in instead of letting go and letting God. I give in to the situation. Struggles, I'm convicted that the Bible shares with us that God either arranges or allows. We see by a gentleman named Job that God allowed certain things. Oftentimes God arranges things to help us to go through, to strengthen our faith in Him. I cannot answer which one it may be you're facing a trial right now. But I'll assure you, struggles, if we don't keep our focus upon Christ and remain Christ-centered, will become temptations. And temptations can become sin if we don't turn to the right place, which is Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Oftentimes I hear people say, you know, God's not going to put me through something that I can't handle. Well, this scripture does not say that, but people refer to it and they're misunderstanding what scripture says. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, without me you can do nothing. So that tells me that everything in life, everything period, is more than we can handle. But he is handling it for us. But we see here in this verse of scripture some hope, and I hope you hear what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except that it is common to humanity. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it. So when you face temptation, when you have that struggle and it becomes difficult, overbearing, and you recognize, I cannot do this, and he knows it already, and if you don't turn it over him, then it becomes temptation to turn away from God. Remember this. He has an avenue of escape. Each and every time. As a promise we're given in Scripture, we're sinners saved by grace. Greg Nall is a pastor, but he's a sinner in need of salvation. His name is Jesus that saved me. I need his salvation each and every day of my life. I need his mercy, his grace, each and every day of my life. Because too often when that way of escape is right in front of me, I miss it and I overlook it. When you're facing that trial and God sees that trial, God works it out and he gives you a way of escape. To escape that temptation. It gives you a way out. So remember this promise. When you're facing that temptation, look around. Don't go at it blindly. Look for that way of escape, because God promises there in that one verse of Scripture, he will provide for you a way of escape. Now, we're all sinners, in need of a Savior, just like I shared with you a moment ago. But that does not give us an excuse. Paul, in fact, wrote in Romans chapter 6, should I sin the more that grace may abound? Absolutely not. That's exactly what he says. I need to be looking for that way of escape. I need to be looking for that way to get away from the temptation. And how that escape is always central to one person. Jesus. 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 We need to be looking for that way of escape. God is not surprised by the trials and the struggles that you may be facing. God is not unaware of the circumstances that you're going through. When God allows you to go through these obstacles and trials and struggles and difficulties, always remember, he may be trying to teach you something, but he also may be trying to teach someone else something. God may be using your life, your trial, your struggle, your difficulty. It may be the other person that's bringing you the trial, the struggle, and the difficulty that you're having to, layman's terms, put up with. But God may be trying to teach them something in your life, and your actions, and your reactions, and how you react to a situation, how you remain steady in your faith. God sees your trials, but God has an ultimate plan. He may want to teach and reach you, but he may want to teach and reach someone else around you too. So never forget, God is in control. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Pray. Seek his face. Seek his will. Seek his guidance. Seek his counsel. Ask a brother or sister in Christ to pray with and for you. Ask the church to pray with and for you. Be there with and for one another. Don't allow those struggles to become sin. I shared with you Job just a moment ago. Listen to what God replied to Job. In Job chapter 40, verses 6 through 9. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. Would you really challenge my justice? Would you declare me guilty to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? Can you thunder with a voice like man? Job, in the middle of his trials, difficulties, that you know the commerce, you know the story. What happened? Big picture. The Bible says Job was a righteous man. But then when all this happened, yes, he didn't waver on the Lord, but he became a little self-righteous, said, I didn't do nothing wrong. And what God is saying here is, all man is sinners. All man. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God proved his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life for us. God sees our trials. It does not surprise him. Number two, why should I pray? Number two, God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 17 kind of gives us this story. Most people do not become overly concerned about God seeing or hearing their problems and prayers. They talk about Him responding because they don't act when they want them to act. We take confidence in God seeing us, but we want things done now. We want that McDonald's action. We want to drive up to a drive-thru window. God, I need this. Drive up a little bit further. Boom, it's there. That's not the way it happens. Our world may have taught us this, but that's not the way it happens. Ask Abraham. God told him he's going to be a children of a great nation with seeds endless. It took him 25 years before the son of promise was born. God had to work in his life to make him a father that he needed to be. I don't know how long you're going to have to go through the trial that you're in the middle of. But God not only sees it, but He hears your prayers. And He's working out the details. We have to have faith that He's going to work out the details. I don't have the answer. I, Greg Nall, do not have the answer, but I can point you to where and who does. Does that mean it'd be easy to locate and find? How much time are you going to give to it? How much time are you going to give to God? When you get up in the morning, are you in His Word, seeking His counsel? When you're in the middle of the day, are you reflecting upon Him and His Word and seeking His counsel? When it comes to the end of the day, you praise Him, glorify Him, saying, thank you, God, for Your Word and Your counsel. Give me a good night's rest. Father, by the way, may in the morning I'll be refreshed and renewed, ready to serve You wherever that may be. Is that our prayer? God sees our trials. He hears our trials. He knows what we're facing and what we're going through. The struggle comes. Oftentimes, here's what we do. We feel as if God is not there and He's not answering our prayers. Why would God not answer our prayers? Let's determine reasons that would cause God not to hear our prayers. I've shared two with you already. James chapter 4. I want you to write these down. I want you to write these down. We do not ask. James 4:2. We've already talked about that one. We ask with the wrong motives. James 4:3. We've already talked about that one. But listen to some of these, the rest of these. We neglect to study God's Word. Proverbs 28:9. 2 Corinthians 2:15. We retain unforgiving hearts. Mark 11:24 through 26. We do not honor our spouse. 1 Peter 3:7. Men, it talks directly to us. We do not honor our wife. Men, you and we are the leaders of the home. God established this. We need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And oftentimes, if God is not hearing our prayer, it may be because our relationship's not right with our wife. We all need to work on it. We all need to work on it. We have unconfessed sin, Psalm 66:18. We doubt, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And last but not least, we pray but do not expect results. Acts chapter 12, verse 15, as we see here in our text. We pray but do not expect results. Some would even say that God answers prayers unfairly. In our story, James dies, as I shared with you a moment ago, but Peter did not. Now, we can all be honest and say, in verses 1 through 4, we see that James was martyred. James was killed. We know that he was facing persecution. So, I'm not going to put something in Scripture that's not there, because we do not know, but I can think logically. How do we know that God did not have mercy and say, James, you're going through this. I'm going to bring you home to me. The Bible shares with us 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body, to be present to the Lord. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul said, take this thorn of flesh away from me 3 times. But God said, my grace is sufficient. So it may be the point that James said, Father, have mercy. This persecution that we're going through, I'm going through it with you, Father. God says, well done, good and faithful servant. It's time to come home and be with me. And I'm not, there's not anything to this. It just kind of popped in my mind. But you remember the story of how this James is the brother of John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. And you remember the story how Jesus is going along and he's kind of talking to them and he hears them grumbling and they're saying which one is going to be greatest. And the mother comes up to Jesus, can my sons be on the left and the right of you, Jesus? And Jesus says, that's not mine to give, but only the Father. I don't know who's going to receive that. But then we see James is the first disciple to die. And we know through Scripture that John was the last disciple to die. That's just something to think about. I don't know the answer of why that. It just intrigues me of how, when you see in Scripture, God's working out details, and there's always stories there that we need to be looking at, paying attention to. We need to be trusting that God's in control. God sees our trials. God hears our prayers. He knows everything about you, everywhere you've been, everything you've done. And here's this good news. He loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. You matter to Him. You are who He cares about. You are the reason Jesus died, to give you freedom from your sins, to give you independence, to free you from the bondage that you're in. I'm looking forward to celebrating the 4th of July, independence of our nation, a great nation, as we've already talked about and established. Praise the Lord that we're here. But here's a truth that we don't need to forget. Our independence comes from Jesus. Our salvation comes from Jesus. And He may have placed you in this nation for such a time like this. When chaos is everywhere. Church, I'm just going to be honest with you. You look at things happening, persecution's coming. And church, to be ready for persecution, you know what needs to happen? We better have our sword ready. That's why it's vitally important, church, that we're plugged in. That's why it's vitally important, church, in that we have 30-plus people going through some discipleship material. It's not about the material. It's about Jesus. It's not about the material we're going through. It's about knowing Him more. It's getting us in layman's terms. Habit, maybe a bad word to use, but reading God's Word, if we get out of the habit, if we get out of the desire, it should be a desire. If we get out of that, you know how hard it is to get back? I've missed it for the past day, or missed it the last week. I've missed one more day is not going to hurt. We need to have that desire. We need to be discipled, and we need to be discipling. Because the church, persecution's coming. The day's coming. We see in Scripture. I'm glad we're in a land of free and home of the brave, that we can worship as we please, but if you haven't watched the news, you haven't seen lately how it's under fire and under attack. Church, 1 Corinthians 13 gives us instructions. We do nothing unless it's in love. But the whole Bible gives us instructions to stand firm on the Word of God. Church, we need to be doing that. God sees our trials. He hears our prayers. He knows exactly what we're going through. Number three, and you're fill in the blank, God deals with our enemies. God deals with our enemies. Acts chapter 12, verses 18 through 25. Too often, people choose these ways to deal with their struggles. Number one, they do not deal with it. I learned a lesson a few years ago from my wife. She was prayer walking. And she is going around the house, just prayer walking for our family, for the things that each of us face, for struggles, for difficulties, for life, for you. She's just praying. And she noticed on the first or second trip, there's a nail sitting in the yard. She went on by it. Time and time again, walked by it. It got to where every time she bossed that nail, it was there. Boom. Got to where she was walking around. Every time she come back around, there was that nail. Boom. And God convicted her, and she told me the story, and it convicted me. If you don't pick up the nail, you're probably going to get a flat tire. What did we get out of this, church? When circumstances and difficulties and struggles come, you don't let it go. You deal with it. In a fashion, in love. But you deal with the situation that you're in. You don't start pointing fingers and saying, well, they're not going through it. They've got these struggles. They've got these difficulties. That why should I have to do it? When you see that nail in the yard, pick it up or you're going to get a flat tire. Church, we need to be picking up, standing firm on God's Word, picking up any struggles that come and giving them to Him. Letting Him have them because He asks of us to do that. Church, we need to learn that. Second, they give up on the church and neglect it. So they don't deal with it. They give up on the church and neglect it. Third, they give up on God and neglect Him. What does all this mean? They've become self-centered, self-righteous. I can do this. I can do that. I can accomplish this. When God says, no, you can't. I alone am the one that's able. But I love you. I want you to just give it to me, Lord. Give it to me, son, my child. We should be praying, give it to me, Lord. Let me give it to you, Lord. People neglect to see, when they read God's Word, these three simple truths. There's a lot more that we could talk about. Our time is short. We need to be turning our trials and troubles and struggles and difficulties all over to Him. Because He'll deal with our enemies. He knows your life and the circumstances and struggles and difficulties that you're going through. He knows what you're facing, the battles you're up against. He knows each and every situation that you're... Yes, you have responsibilities, but give it all to Him. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In other words, God will not deal with your issues if you don't give it to Him. It's not because that's His desire. It's because it's your choice. And you've said no, Lord. See, God gives us a choice. The steps that we're taking. We have responsibilities. Remember that fisherman? Pray for a boatload of fish. But if you don't go fishing, you're not going to catch a thing. Big picture, we need to be in prayer. We have responsibilities. We need to give God control of each and every circumstance because it's His already. We need to allow Him to deal with the outcome. Acts chapter 13, verse 23, here's how God dealt with the outcome of Herod. At once an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he became infected with worms and died. God deals with your enemies. It may not be in this lifetime, but it's coming. But here's the story doesn't stop there. Next, Acts chapter 12. Here's, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Number four, you fill in the blank. Why should I pray? God desires for them to be saved. Who? Who is them? Your enemies. Your foes. All people. God has a desire for salvation of all mankind. Sometimes enemies can come through the church if we're not on guard. Sometimes enemies can come from outside the church, and it's very active today. Turn on the television, see the news. I don't care what choice of television show you like to listen to. You turn it on and listen to it, and you'll hear church is under fire because the world is not following Jesus. A mistake we make oftentimes is not to consider what others are going through and what others are facing. You see, as I shared with you earlier, God may be using you to reach someone else. You say, how does the Bible say that? Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. You may be the only Bible that person around you hears. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So that tells and shares with me, salvation comes by people hearing the Word of God. And God may have you right where you're at, in the middle of that struggle and difficulty and trial that you're facing right here and right now, to be a witness to them. He didn't say it'd be easy. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, I've come to this world that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But, my favorite word, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So right in the middle of your circumstance and your situation, be a light. Be a city on the hill, as we sung about a little bit earlier. Be that city that they're looking for. Because I promise you, each and every person is looking for something. They may be looking in the wrong areas. And they may not agree with you. But God instructed you to be a light. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, here's what the instructions are. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. You may be a bad witness, but you're a witness. He wants you to be a good witness, so be his witness. What is that person around you that's facing or giving you trials and struggles? What are they going through? Have you prayed for them? Have you sought God's face? Have you considered what may be going through their mind? Have you considered that God may be using you to reach people for his glory? God's desire is for you to be a witness for him. God's desire is for them to become Christian. In other words, for them to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, real quick. First of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You need to be praying for your president. You need to be praying for leaders of the world. You need to be praying for your mayor. You need to be praying for your governor. You need to be praying for your leaders, no matter who it may be. Be in prayer for them. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for God's will to take place. Pray for people to know Jesus. Pray for yourself to be that light of Jesus. Jesus sees your trials. Jesus knows where you've been and what you've done. He still loves you and wants for you to be free. Church, Christian, you. I challenge you to look up 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, repent of their sins, turn from their evil ways, then I will hear their voice. Then I will heal their land. Church, it's time to be in prayer. It's time to be in prayer. There's someone here that has not surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I urge you to make that choice today. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. In the Romans road that I shared with you previously earlier, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a free gift for you, and He's calling, He's extending His hand, and He's saying, come home. Christian, maybe you've gone down some wrong paths, the wrong road, and you've faced those trials, but you know that God sees, and as you've just heard, you know that God hears your prayers, and you see how in Scripture it says God deals with your enemies, and maybe you've been trying so long, and you've just been holding on and harboring and trying to do it yourself, and now you've come to the recognition, I can't do it. God says, let go and let me. Give me all your cares, all your burdens, all your struggles, all your difficulties, and let me be Lord of your life and Lord of all. Won't you just do it? It's a lot harder to deal with it in that fashion than it is to let go and let God. Yes, we're to deal with it. Yes, we have responsibilities. Let go and let God. Let Him be Lord of your life. Let Him be Lord of all of life, because He already is. Because He created you. And He loves you. Won't you come home?